This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 13th, episode 1404. This episode is brought to you by your auditors, our auditors. Good morning, horse world.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here. And welcome back, Kim Baker. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Thanks for having me back, Glenn.
Well, we got a call from Jamie late last night from Hawaii that said that, her husband just got a job with American. So last week he had the week off and he said, well, we can fly anywhere now for free. So we're just going to go to the airport and go to Hawaii. So that's what they did. And then, but the problem is when you fly that way, you have to get whatever seats are available. And guess what? Monday, there were no seats available. So she wasn't able to get back. I think they maybe got to Los Angeles last night. Yeah, it was really late and she didn't really want to get up this early. So
oh, come on.
So then I'm scrambling and I call Kim and said, Kim, you haven't been on the show in forever. Why don't you come back and join us for a little bit? And of course, everybody will remember Kim used to come on and she was best known for doing readings of the listeners' horses. And that was we used to have a lot of fun with that. And then she got a real job and had to go to work for a living.
Yeah, darn.
We'll forgive you for wanting to eat, Kim. So,
but just so you know, I still do animal readings.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When she's not working.
I did one on Sunday for a sick dog in California. So
it's too bad we didn't have.
I just don't do them on the air.
Yeah, we didn't have time to get one lined up for this morning, or we would have. We would have done that, but it was just too short a time. Kim would have been doing it at midnight last night going, wake up. I need to talk to you. I thought about at the last minute seeing if you could do a reading with Scooter, but Scooter's in a bad place right now and I really didn't want to hear what he had to say. So, he's a lot of change going on. See, Kim, Jennifer bought a new thoroughbred. You might have seen that on Facebook. Because she wanted to upgrade to a horse that was a little bigger and she could do a little bit more with and didn't have a square trot like Beaker. Jennifer and I are both getting older and the square trots don't work as well anymore. So,
yeah, understand.
You get that, right? So, and she sold the Beaker and he is actually leaving today. He's heading to his new home to some really nice people who I think are going to love him to death. And Beaker's going to be like semi-retired husband horse. So it's going to be perfect. But Scooter's not having much fun with this whole transition. He does not like the new guy yet and basically bares his teeth at him. And Scooter has been in a funk since the new guy arrived. So so I really didn't want you to do a reading because all you would have gotten is swear words from the little pony. Hackneys can swear up a storm.
He's missing it. He's going to miss his buddy. So... you guys gave them time to say goodbye to each other and everything.
Yeah,
right?
He hasn't been out alone yet with the new guy. There's always been Beaker involved. And Beaker, see, was always the head of the pack, and Scooter's now trying to claim that he is. They're gonna have to work out the details when Beaker leaves today.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll take some time, so just be patient with him.
Now, we have a 16-2 hand, a new horse who's a bit of a wimp, and we have Scooter, who's all of 12 and a half hands, who's trying to say, I am in charge here, and you're going to listen to me. And finally, for the first time yesterday, the new guy said, I don't think I really want you to be in charge. So it's going to be a couple days of playing that game. We'll see who ends up on top, actually. I'm kind of anxious to see who ends up the boss, because I'm not sure at this point.
Yeah, it probably will flip-flop for the next several days, maybe a week or so.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, we're going to put them out together during the day. It's a big field, and there's a lot of great green grass right now, so they're going to be occupied. And then at night, we're not going to put them out together. We're going to keep them separated for a week or so and keep them alone. I think that's going to be better for Scooter than having time to think about his situation with no food in front of him. So it's going to be...
I think that sounds like a great plan.
Yeah. Keep them busy, out of trouble. That's what you have to do with children like Scooter. So we will say goodbye to Beaker later today. I'm actually more upset about it than I think Jennifer is. Jennifer's happy to have a new horse to ride that's not square, and Beaker's just kind of always been there for the last 5 years. So, and I'm actually more squishy emotional. Most people probably don't realize that than Jennifer is. Actually,
would have guessed you're squishy, Glenn.
Yeah, I think most people realize that, actually. I think I'm taking that back. I think they do realize that. So Jamie should be back on Friday. Look for her back on Friday. Well, before we get on with the show today, I wanted to give our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Texas. Man, they had a wicked storm last night in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It dropped baseball-size hail. There were videos. Just search for hail, Texas, and you're going to see some unbelievable videos. I mean, we're talking thousands of cars just destroyed. The windshield's gone, the back window's gone, the side window's gone, dents, huge dents all over the cars. There are some homes. They showed some pictures of some homes in Texas. I mean, beautiful million-dollar two-story homes in the suburbs of Texas that have every window was blasted out. Every window's gone. It was just a bizarre storm. And then it did do some damage and I think killed a couple people as tornadoes went through the south again. Those poor people in like Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana have just been nailed after storm for the last year. So our thoughts are with all of them. I haven't heard about any reports of livestock yet, including horses, but boy, if there were horses out in that, they did not do well.
Nobody would.
People out in that, you'd be dead. I mean, this hail was literally baseball size. So our thoughts and prayers out to everybody in Texas and the South who dealt with that yesterday. But in the meantime, we have a show to do. Jennifer's going to tell us about it.
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition. As you've noticed, we've got Kim Baker in the co-host chair. And Glenn will be circling the wagons. Yes. Glenn's going to be circling the wagons today because he is going to shoot down a questionable list of boyfriend tips. And then mid-show, the Haggard Horse Health Report is going to go fungal or bacterial. We're not sure which. And to round out our bolt through the equinosphere, we've got some more headlines from the horsey news. And a gal who doesn't understand what full seats are, Diane Daniels, is going to stop by to announce a new project that she's working on. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And everybody remember Diane as that New York girl. I saw her last night. We had a Florida podcasters meeting, and she has a new project that would interest a lot of people in the audience. And it sounds like a fun project, so I thought I'd get her back on to talk about that. She's not going to try and talk about horses again. Don't worry. It's okay. We're safe. Well, this Daily Whinny is actually from my friend Jamie. She wanted to give a Daily Whinny. She was so bummed she couldn't be here this morning to talk about this. And by the way, she was getting sick of Hawaii and ready to get back to riding her horses. She gives her Daily Winnie out to Zenyatta and her new baby. And as you know, Zenyatta delivered her fourth foal on April the 10th, a couple days ago. She broke her water at 9 p.m. and foaled at 9:24. So she's getting good at making babies quickly now. She delivered, this is a boy, Bay Colt by Warfront, who is the daddy of this one. Now, there was a little bit of a problem. Maybe Jennifer can explain it. The foal was born, how do you say it, with a meconium stained? Born, how do you say that? Meconium stained? Do you guys, either one of you know anything about that?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, good.
I have no idea what that means.
All right, well, it says, I will read from the article and we'll all learn together. Meconium staining is an occasional event at foaling in which aspiration can occur, irritating the lungs. As a precaution and on the recommendation of attending veterinarians, both mare and foal were taken to the clinic for close observation and treatment. Apparently, Zenyatta is bright and alert and is excellent health following the foaling. She and her foal are in good spirits and developing a strong bond, and as always, she's a great mommy. The foal can stand to move around with minimal assistance, but they're going to keep her there for a couple days. I haven't seen any other updates on that, so we'll be watching closely to see if the baby's going to be okay. And I will say that Jamie did get word that about that on the side, so we were keeping an eye on what was going on there. I haven't heard anything new, so if we hear anything, we'll let you know. Another bit of news on Jamie is she did get her cast off her leg right before they went to Hawaii, and she's been cleared to ride, but she did get on Thor, and she said it hurt like hell. So she didn't ride. She really just sat on him and then got back off. So she really wants to get back to riding, but I think it's going to happen a little bit at a time. You know, she did break her foot in about 25 places, so it's going to take a little time. I don't think she's going to be able to ride like she thinks she's going to be able to ride. So that's what happened there.
Sometimes just sitting on a horse is all you need.
Well, and you know, in her case, it had been a while. So I think, and then she had just right before this happened, Kim, she had just gotten her second Mustang. And just gotten him and then broke her foot and then couldn't ride. So her students have been riding the new Mustang.
Oh, okay.
So that has to hurt too, you know?
Yeah, right. You have this brand new horse and you can't even ride it. And everybody else is, that would be frustrating.
Yeah, that would. All right. Now, I'm going to try and not swear during this next segment. So I know, Dr. Ellen, you usually play this show in your waiting room there in Manhattan. And I'm going to try and be good about this because, we all know what the B word is, right? Well, I hope that this article is satire, and I'm not sure because of the way it was written. If it's not satire, the woman that wrote this is a B-word. She definitely is that. And I have a few things to say, being America's Horse Husband, on the article that was on Odyssey Online, which is kind of a mainstream blog about celebrities and all different kinds of stuff. And there's this girl named Paige Miller wrote this article called 11 Tips for the Horse Show Boyfriend. Have you seen this yet, Kim?
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, and it's pretty short, and I'm really hoping it's satire and not true, because I'm just going to say something to her boyfriend. Run! Just run as far and as fast as you can. So this is what she says. Horse shows are extremely stressful, but I believe they're more stressful for those that don't quite know what is happening. So here is my advice to our lovely horse show boyfriends everywhere. Now, there's no indication in those two sentences that this is satire, right? Okay.
Right.
Well, this is what she says. And I've been that horse show boyfriend way, way back 30 years ago. And, you know, we do a show on Horse Husbands where we talk about this kind of thing. Well, this is what she says. Do not begin to tell me how upset you are to wake up at 4 a.m. No, you did not sign up for this horse show thing. But when you asked me on the date, you pretty much sealed your fate. Plus, you go to sleep in the car or the trailer, whichever you prefer. So we can see how this is heading now. Always have food on hand. I have about 5 minutes between each class, which leaves me no time to dismount, walk to the food booth, order, wait for my food, consume it, and then remount. Just have food or you will feel the wrath of my hangriness. Number three.
Well, I have to say, unfortunately, it's true. You know, when you're showing and you have a lot of classes, you don't really have time. So hopefully, whether you have a boyfriend or not, you have somebody that can go grab food for you. But I don't know that you have to be so hangry about it, I guess.
I think it's the attitude in which it is written that I have a problem with. And yes, I understand, and I've gotten Jennifer food to make sure she knows I over-obsess about her eating on horse show day. But to the point where she says, just go away. So,
yes.
Because she doesn't want to eat on horse show day. So I get that. Oh, it gets better. Always carry a brush. What if I accidentally kick my horse's butt while mounting? What if a horse bumps into my horse? What if my horse steps in a puddle? What if the arena is dusty? Just keep brushing and we'll look so nice and clean.
What if the arena is dusty? What arena is not dusty?
Oh, and this one, I really like the next one. This girl needs a slave, not a boyfriend. Always clean my boots. You better have a rag or something on hand to clean my boots off at all times. No excuses. Dirty boots call for an unhappy girl.
Wow. What would she do if she didn't have... I mean, I have shown many times and done a lot of things myself. Really? Now, I have asked for help because sometimes you do need help, but my God.
Know the my pattern. Okay, this I love this one, all right? What? And this had never happened when I was there, because I can't remember patterns worse than Jennifer can't remember patterns. I understand that it's my job to know the pattern, but what if I need last-minute reassurance? What if I blank out? What if I'm confused? I don't care if you can't read the pattern. You just need to know it. Recite it back to me. Do something.
Oh, see, that's BS, because if you can't read the pattern, how are you going to know what it is?
I'm going to say it again. Run, frickin' run, do something. The something is run to the car, steal the truck, just leave.
I love number six. Never look back.
I love number six. Do not leave my sight. What am I supposed to do if I need something? Who will I ask for help? At a show, I'm basically as independent as an infant. Oh, my God. This girl needs not to be showing. Does spoiled brat come to mind, by the way?
I was going to say, silver spoon.
Oh, my God. Always have horses' treats on hand. My horses need rewarding, too. Do you just expect her to know when she did a job well done? No, she needs treats and to be spoiled and loved and spoiled even more. If you run out of treats, find more. I don't just give her treats. Ask first, but spoil her, too. Okay. Is there a mixed message there or what? I want you to have treats on hand, but don't you damn well give one to them unless I tell you.
Oh, I think you're right. The term slave.
I'm so confused.
Perfect.
Videotape at all times. I don't care if I didn't charge the camera last night. You need to catch everything from the minute I step into the arena, from the second they dismiss me. What a bitch. Hold the damn horse. Just hold her. Don't let her eat grass. Don't let her crib. Don't let her socialize. Don't touch her. Don't even look at her. Just hold her. Right there. Don't move.
Oh, my.
Take a deep breath, Glenn. It's okay. Your blood pressure's going up.
I want to smack her. I really just want to smack this girl so hard. I'm not a violent person, but I would smack her. There's more. If you ask, I can't even read it. If I ask you if my horse looks good, always say yes. I don't care if you have no idea what a 360-degree turn on the left forehand is. I'm needy, and I like need reassurance.
She needs a lot. She's very needy.
And then she ends with this. Do not ever ask me at the show if I appreciate you. Of course I do. Now is just not the time to socialize. But I really would never find anyone else to carry all of my tack, feed me, stand in my 100-degree humid weather, videotape, cleaning my boots and horse, stay at the barn late with me, help me clean my stalls, and still tell me I am pretty and I'm a great rider at the end of the day. Boyfriends that love your horse as much as they love you are the ones to keep. All I have to say about this is the sex better be really, really good. Because I got to tell you, the sex has got to be mind-blowing for me to put up with this for 10 minutes.
I don't know. I think if she's that needy at a horse show, can you imagine what it's like?
That's true, too. All around, this is a loser for this boyfriend. I guarantee you he's out of there. He didn't last 10 minutes. But we all know people like this, don't we? You've all met people like this at the barn. I mean, it's like, oh, man.
Oh, I wonder if she's married or if she's...
No.
She must not be because it's boyfriend.
Yeah, it's boyfriend. Must be. No. Paige, I don't know who you are, but I hope this was satire. Please tell me it was satire because... I don't know what else to say about that. I think it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it speaks for itself.
But it does.
Well, now, something interesting happened in England yesterday, and this is not something you see every day when you're going. They have they have what over there is called zoo farms. It's, you know, places where you can go to meet animals and say hi to the ponies, and sometimes they have camels and stuff like that. And I'm trying to bring up the story, and of course, it's not coming up right now. But what happened was they have a pony at the park, and the pony's name is a Palomino pony at the park that was pregnant. And Tinker is the pony's name. It's a Shetland pony. Well, it decided instead of doing what most horses do is have their babies in the middle of the night, it decided to have its baby during the prime peak hours of the park. So all of the visitors to the park yesterday, apparently a pretty large crowd, got to see this pony have a baby right in the middle of the field. So I'm sure that there were a lot of moms explaining exactly what happened to their 3 and 4 year olds that were going, "What was that?" Right in the field in front of everybody, it had its baby. So apparently Daddy was also a miniature Shetland, was close by watching everything unfold. And the owner, the keeper of the park said, "I was extremely surprised at the time of birth. We've never had a foal born during the middle of the day, but I was very happy with how the little foal turned out. And Mom and foal are doing great, giving the crowd of visitors an amazing experience for their day out." Yes, the kids went to school. Can you imagine what they were talking about at school the next day? It was definitely an amazing experience, but it's
we're talking about chicken nuggets, Glenn. It's what kids do.
It's a little cute white foal.
Andy Crush.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I think that, you know, a lot of kids now with the video games and everything, like they really don't have concept of life and death and birth and all of that. And so to actually see that was a gift for those that were around, I think. I think it was a good thing for them to experience something in real life that isn't on the phone or on TV.
I have to tell you, I was involved in helping with the first one I saw happen. Was it My Pony, Jennifer? I think so.
Yeah.
You had to help with that, and I was kind of traumatized for a week. So I can't imagine. I can't imagine how a 4-year old. They wouldn't care, right? I was traumatized. They wouldn't care. So that was some exciting thing. That was the cute story of the day. And then one other story.
Cute little foal.
Yeah, it is. Cute white little foal, actually. Mm-hmm.
You forget, it's Mum.
Oh,
not Mom.
Right. I'm sorry. Mum. It's Mum. Yeah, that's right. It's Mum. It was in England.
That's right. It's from the UK. It's a Mum.
It's a Mum.
UK, it's a Mum.
Well, we've been talking about the Salt River. Jamie's been talking nonstop about the Salt River horses in Arizona, and I'm not going to go through the whole story again because we've talked about it several times here on the show and had guests on about it. But the Arizona Senate yesterday approved a bill Monday that would make it a state crime to take, harass, kill, or otherwise interfere with the herd of horses that runs free along the Salt River. If you remember right, they had talked about taking all the horses out of the Salt River because they're not native to there, but they've been there for a long time. And if you think about it, most of the wild horses in the country are not native to here if you go back far enough, right? So this bill would protect the wild horses and it would allow them to stay there. It goes in a lot of details what the bill exactly was, but suffice it to say that the people that were really pushing this bill and all of the surveys and writing campaigns they had about it, the people that were in charge of all of those are very happy with how the bill turned out. So
that's great.
Yep.
And I don't know if you're aware though, Glenn, but there's a scientist that has been proving that the horses are native to North America.
Oh, really?
Not. Yeah. Yeah. What happened is that they migrated out and then the Spanish reintroduced them.
Oh, so they were here before the Spanish arrived, and then they had disappeared and went to Mexico. Or they probably all went south where the weather was better.
Actually, I think they went over the land bridge over into Europe and Asia.
Ah, and that would be North Europe and Asia, and I bet you they regretted that after they did. It's cold up there.
It's cold up there.
It's like, why'd we come over here? We thought the grass was greener. All we got was ice and snow.
When the Spanish brought them back, they're like, oh, it's so much better over here.
Yeah,
it's so damn cold.
I think we'll stay this time. Anyway, that was good news out of Arizona yesterday. That story is also thanks to Jamie wanted me to mention that today. All right, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor this half hour, and then we're going to get to our guest from the Haggard Horse Health Report, Jennifer Smooth Stride Jeans.
I love my smooth stride jeans. Now, I want to keep this concise because I could talk for a long, long time about my smooth stride jeans. I love them for three important reasons. First and foremost, they fit fabulously, and they're super comfy when I'm riding or when I'm just zipping around town. That's number two. And number three is Glenn says my butt looks great in them.
They do.
And that's important because Glenn doesn't say that very often.
These are the nicest looking jeans you've ever worn. And we've been together 30 years. They really
are. Because I hate buying, you buy jeans and the hip huggers are too low and the not hip huggers are too high. They look like a grandma. These are perfect. And they've got a waistband that you don't get a gap when you sit down. So you're at the restaurant and you sit down in the chair instead of the booth. You have the little gap in the back of your jeans and the creepy guy sitting behind you with 12 kids is looking to check out the gap in your jeans. Not going to happen.
Well, for the benefit of the commercial, I will say that I've seen some other butts in the jeans, and they also looked good. So it's just for the commercial benefit, Jennifer. Trying to help.
And they're available in three different styles. You can get extended knee patch, you can get full seat, or you can get no suede patches at all if you don't like suede on your riding trousers or for just zipping around town and you don't want the suede. So you can get them that way. And they are... come in three different inseam lengths and 11 different sizes. So you have a lot to choose from. So every size gal can get the perfect fit. And what I discovered this past weekend when I had Beaker out at the Equine Trail Sports event.
Yeah, and you were on for 3 or 4 hours.
Is a little cell phone pocket. We were out for 3.4 hours or something. And the cell phone pocket, which is just above your knee on the thigh, which is a great place to put your cell phone because it's easy to get to, and it's big enough for my giant cell phone. I didn't have my cell phone along, but it's also perfect for holding horse or human cookies. Because they don't get crunched like they would in your back pocket.
See, Jennifer's self-sufficient, not like that girl we talked about before. She actually can feed her own horse cookies. Just saying.
That's right. So head on over to smoothstride.com. That's the website. And check out all the great stuff they have on there and order yours today.
Thank you, Jennifer. Smoothstride.com. It's now time for the Horse Health Report.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report. When our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And of course, every week, Haggard stops by, and this week we have Susanna Lewis with us, who's a sport horse intern at Haggard, and I love the fact that we get to talk to a lot of different people from Haggard every week. And Susanna, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, it says here that you're a recent graduate of the University of Minnesota.
I am indeed.
And were
I
you
started Haggard in June?
Oh, good. And were you a what was your major? And well, you have a PhD now, so you're actually a doctor.
Yes, I'm several kinds of doctor. I have both a PhD and a DVM. So I'm a veterinarian, and then I also did a research degree as well.
Holy wow. crap! How long were you in school? <It's> like
my last year of vet school, my niece asked me what grade I was in, and I had to add it up. So I was in 25th grade.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
That's sick.
Wow. We all
okay.
make life choices.
All right. I've just declared you are too smart to be on this show, so you're out.
I don't think that was necessarily a smart choice.
Well, so when can I ask your age when you finally graduated with your PhD and had it all done?
32.
Wow. That's a long time, girl. That's a long time.
It was a long time.
So now you're, and okay, so now, wait a minute. You come out of that, and now you're an intern at Haggard? Or are you
yeah,
like
now
a,
I have to learn how to actually be a doctor.
So we got another how many years till that happens?
Well, the internship is 1 year, and then you can go into private practice or do even more training if you so desire.
So is an intern...
So is an internship...
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Is an internship like a residency, like a medical doctor would go to a residency?
It's most medical doctors do a 1 year internship after their med school as well, and then they do residencies, which are required for humans but optional for veterinarians.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow. Well, congratulations, by the way, on making it through with all of your degrees. That's terrific. It's terrific.
Well, thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, we got a listener question, Jennifer did, and it went like this. I was hoping you could clear something up for me. What is the difference between fungal and bacterial infection? If a product is labeled antibacterial, is it also antifungal or vice versa? How is one treated versus the other? And that was from James. That's a darn good question because I think we all get kind of confused about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great question because it illustrates the importance of knowing what is infecting your horse and whether your treatment is effective against that. Because you can spend a lot of time and money on a good treatment for the wrong problem if you don't know what you're dealing with at first. So yes, bacterial and fungal infections are different and do have different treatments. There are a few products that may get both. It sort of depends on the situation.
So let's talk about that then. How do we tell can we as average people who don't have 25 degrees and were in school for 32 years, can we tell the difference between fungal and bacteria?
Yeah, so most drugs will be labeled. Number one, you should always talk to your veterinarian because you want to figure out what your horse's problem is before you start down the line of treatment.
Okay, but that's what I'm asking.
Broadly,
I'm saying, can I look at my horse and tell which is fungal and bacterial myself without the vet?
Not necessarily. There are some common things like rain rot, which people often think is fungal, is actually a bacterial infection. People are pretty good at recognizing ringworm, which is actually fungal, even though it sounds like it should be a worm. So there are a couple of things like that owners often see, but generally checking in with your vet is a good way to go. And also to make sure you don't have a bigger problem than what you're seeing on the surface too.
Now, is a lot of that recognizable or will they do skin grafts and have them tested and stuff too?
It depends. So if we're talking skin diseases, there's a few common ones that you can diagnose by clinical presentation. Others you would need a culture or skin scraping or similar thing to determine.
Okay, this is not very scientific, but it could help just you know, visually for people, that like, you know, mushrooms are fungus. So, not that your horse would have a, you know, mushroom growing on them. But
I was wondering where you were going with this.
I'm a young veterinarian, but I've not yet seen mushrooms on a horse.
But it's just to think of the difference, like a bacteria is, you know, like a little, like more of like a bug. So you could kind of just.
So the fungus we see on horses. Fungus that tends to infect horses tends to be similar, like small to multicellular organisms. So you won't necessarily see it the way you do a big fungus, like a mushroom.
Right. Like I said, like you're going to see a mushroom on your horse. But maybe just to
something
help distinguish
can be a mix of both. Like
okay.
Some can, and a lot of things, yeah. Some things can be a mix of both, like scratches or pasture dermatitis often has both components. So you have to treat both. So it's a complicated, it's much more complicated than it seems on the surface, I guess.
Oh yeah, because then like some drugs, you know, will work for some bacteria and not others, right?
Exactly. So the trick with treating is trying to find things that kill your problem without causing collateral damage. So for instance, a flamethrower would be a great antiseptic, but it's going to have some collateral damage to your horse. So we want to make sure we're targeting our treatment for the problem. And while some like scrubs and solutions, like we call them antiseptics, might have efficacy against multiple range of categories, more often we're targeting like an antibacterial will kill bacteria, an antifungal will kill fungal. So more often we try to target our treatment so we have less collateral damage.
So let's go back to rain rot, which is probably what one of the most common, right? That we see.
Yeah.
And so if people are wondering what to do, you know, they maybe haven't had their vet out. Two things. At what point with rain rot do you get your vet out, and how can they treat it themselves if they're not to that point yet? Did that make any sense?
Yes, that does. So the best thing is good nursing care. So you need to keep it clean and dry. Bacteria, which rain rot's caused by bacteria. Bacteria love warm, moist environments. So if we can take that away from them, they'll be unable to survive themselves. And then usually some sort of medicated shampoo once a day or so. You don't want to overdo it because you want the natural oils and everything as well and some good bacteria.
Is there a specific shampoo that you recommend? You can say
I don't like to
here,
recommend. I don't like to recommend specific products because I don't want to endorse something when there's other equally good products out there. But there are several good options out there.
And what should the shampoo say? Let's approach it that way. What should they look for in a bottle that will help them?
That's a good question. So it should say antimicrobial or antiseptic.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. What are the other most common bacterial or fungal infections you see?
Especially in young horses, we see a lot of ringworm, which are those circular hairless lesions.
Yeah.
And those are caused by a fungus. So you need an antifungal shampoo for that.
And shampoo's the way to go? There's nothing else you can put directly on it? Or?
I've had the most luck with shampoos.
So it's not like people where you can take a pen and draw a circle around it? That's the old thing. Your mother told you, you get ringworm, you take a pen and you draw a circle around it and the ink keeps it from spreading. That's the wives' tale. I don't know if that worked.
Maybe the hair gets in the way. I don't know.
Okay. Jennifer?
So explain to me, because this is what confused me. I'm a label reader. I'm obsessed with reading labels on things. Explain to me the difference between antimicrobial and antiseptic and antibacterial?
That's a great question. So antimicrobial, so we call microbes all those little things that infect horses. So antimicrobial means it's effective against one or more of those categories. So bacterial and or fungal and or protozoal. Antiseptic usually implies that it's effective against at least two of those. It has some ability to clean the area. We use those a lot when we're scrubbing for surgery and similar sterile preps. And then antibacterial, antifungal, antiprotozoal are all targeted against those specific organisms. And
so
you would not expect it to have efficacy against another one.
a problem that I'm, for example, Pastern dermatitis. My horse has scratches. So I don't know if there's a bacterial, a fungal, or a combination of those. If I go with something that's labeled antimicrobial, that product is likely going to have ingredients that kill both fungus and bacteria.
Antiseptic would be my bet for that. Microbial sometimes just means one of the classes.
Okay, so antiseptic is going to have two of the three.
Yeah.
Yay! Gold star! You just cleared something up for me. Thank you.
Glad I could help. And there are, like, scratches is a super common and very difficult thing to treat. So one thing we always say is if there's a lot of products to try to treat something, it's probably none of them are very good. It's very hard to get something that's effective against things like that.
So yes, I have found that as far as scratches go, the best is not to put anything on it at all and treat it internally.
That can be too, yeah.
But
how? How treat it internally,
yep.
Kim?
Improving the immune system. So there, where she is now, because she never had scratches before, and then when I moved her to where she currently is, she got it, and I know that some of the other horses in the area have it, have gotten it as well. So there must be, you know, something in the ground or in one of the plants that they eat or something like that. And then, so what I ended up doing was just treating her, just boosting her immune system. I treated it topically, and it made it worse. And she was really, really upset because it was extremely painful. And so we had to get over that. And then, yeah, once I kind of boosted her immune system, it started to heal on its own.
I will put a plug in, and they are, I'll disclose that they are one of our sponsors on our shows, is we use Dr. Rose's Remedies because we have scratches all the time. We live in Florida, right? So they're always wet. Mm-hmm. And I have a pony with four white feet. So, you know, we have a problem. And the Dr. Rose's really has done a good job of keeping it at bay. And they sell this a spray-on kind. You can get the rub-on kind, but they also sell the spray-on kind, which we tend to use. And we also tend to keep it clipped so that not real hairy, behind the ankle there.
Mm-hmm.
So that has helped, too, is keeping it clipped so we can keep it clean. And then also, you have to try and keep them dry. Keeping them dry helps, too, but that's hard to do in Florida. I mean, if they're out at all, they're wet.
It is.
So... Yeah. And all you people that don't have Chrome are going, what scratches? So
unfortunately, I think most people have dealt with scratches at some point.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's kind of ubiquitous, yeah.
All right, Susanna. So now I know you've been in school forever, you're probably warned by this by your counterparts. We always like to talk a little bit about you because this is our you're the listener here at Horse Radio Network, and we like to learn about the experts that are on and stuff. So, do you have horses, or haven't you had time with the 85 years of school?
I've have one old retired mare who's been with me through all the school, and then. I rode dressage growing up and was a working student while I was a grad student in Colorado and rode some in vet school too.
So
I have not managed to do it during my internship.
Do you hope to get back to it?
I would love to, yes.
Very good. Well, good luck with that. I'm just picking on you. I'm picking on you because I'm admiring what you've accomplished, and I think that's terrific. I'm sure, do you want to go back then after the internship? Do you want to open your own practice, or do you want to stay working for somebody else?
I haven't quite decided whether I want to stay in private practice or go back to academia, do more research as well as clinical.
Well, why not? I mean, you've been there for 30 years already, so.
Exactly.
Well, good luck with everything that you're doing, and you're in a beautiful spot. Kentucky's certainly a beautiful place to do your internship.
It sure is.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll be at Rolex, so hopefully we'll get to see you bopping over there to say hi.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right, and it's haggard.com, right? HAGYARD.com.
Correct.
And there's all kinds of good information on there about all different kinds of things. And you can just hop over there and check it out at haggard.com. Thank you so much to Haggard for joining us here every Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lewis.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Well, we do appreciate Haggard doing that, and let's hear a little bit more about them, and we're going to come back with lots more fun. I have another list, not quite so, that doesn't piss me off quite so much as the last one.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
I have to say something. You know, even if I was smarter, with my ADD, there's no way I could have been in school till I was 32.
ADD?
Yeah, with my attention deficit problem, you know, not being able to focus on anything for more than 1 minute, I would have never made it. I could have never made it. No way.
It was a long time to be in school.
It is. I admire her for having the fortitude to do that, because that shows a lot about, you know, getting stuff done and focusing. Whew.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That whole focusing thing, it's overrated, you know? Speaking of which, a Rolex, I mentioned that, and it's coming up, 2 weeks away. We're going to be in Lexington in 2 weeks. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks from today, we'll be driving up there, and we're going to be staying at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. Now, it is sold out for Rolex, so if you're making a last-minute trip, you'll have to call around, but next time you're in Lexington, check out the Clarion Hotel. It's about 7 minutes from the park. Easy drive right off the highway, easy to get to, and you can see more details about that at clarionhotellex.com. And then our coverage is brought to you at Rolex this year by Bates Saddles. And I discovered yesterday, I was talking to Lena on the Stable Scoop show, she rides in a Bates saddle. Did you ride in that saddle when you were up there, Jennifer?
I sure did.
Did you like it? Which one does she have? Do you remember?
She has the Close Contact saddle, and it is awesome.
Yeah, there's a reason that Bates saddles have become popular. And the one thing about her horse is her horse changes, you know, and Kim, you'll appreciate this, in the winter and summer, because she lives in New England, her horse has dramatically changed shape during those seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And so she gets to change the gullet out, because the Bates saddles have the gullet change system. So she changes the gullet out twice a year to make sure that she always has the right fit for the horse, depending on his changing shape. So that's one of the nice things.
I wonder if they're going to have a booth there.
They're going to be sold, actually. They're going to have Bates saddles at the Horse Lovers booth, which another one of our terrific sponsors.
So we're driving up, so there will be room for a saddle.
Oh, no. And you know what, Kim? She just sold her horse, so she has cash in her pocket. You know, did I tell you, Jennifer?
You know what, Clint? You're going to have to follow her around and carry all of her bags.
Yes, exactly. And her horse treats and everything else. And I better do it right. And I better keep a rag to polish her boots, because we wouldn't want them to get dirty at Rolex. I'm never going to let that go. All right, we're going to do a song next, and then we're coming back. Jennifer has a couple of Would You Rathers to play. Kim, do you want to play a little game of Would You Rather?
Absolutely.
All right, and the listeners can play along, too. So I got a little song for you called Little Handprints by Chloe Litton coming up.
Side of that barn, riding horses around the front yard, getting caught swimming in that muddy pond. What'd I do to just go back to that farm? I'd ride that old gelding around that front field, spray paint on the tree trunks so was here. Spend one more evening on that front porch, oh Lord. In my mind, I still ain't made it out the door. Road is where my heart will be. So many nights walking the drive lined with trees. I got in so much trouble, but mama just laughed at me and said that girl's a miss. I wonder what she'll grow up to be. I'd ride that old gelding around that front field, spray paint on the tree trunks to let them know I was here. Spend one more evening on that front porch, oh Lord. In my mind, I still ain't made it out the door. So many years have passed, but I still think about that place. Wondering if the land is still laid out the same way. If the fences are still standing that me and Granddad built. Some memories come and go, but that farm never will. I'd ride that old gelding around that front field, spray paint on the tree trunks to let them know I was here. Just been one more evening on that front porch, oh Lord. In my mind, I still ain't made it out the door. Still ain't made it out the door. Little handprints on the side of that barn.
That's Chloe Litton, L-I-T-T-O-N, if you want to search for her on iTunes, and the song is Little Handprints. You can find all of her music there as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm here with Kim Baker this morning because Jamie flew in late last night. She finally got a flight out of, well, you know what? I don't exactly know if she got a flight out of Hawaii. She might still be there. So, but she's supposed to be home. She guarantees us she'll be back by Friday, so we'll hope to have her back then. Did look like she was having a wonderful time. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair today, and we are also brought to you by our auditors. The auditors, and a matter of fact, one of the auditors, Kim, Dr. Ellen in New York City, is picking on me because she said, really? Draw a circle around ringworm with a pen? No, somebody else has had to have heard of that. I'm not the only one whose family did that. Somebody else, post on Facebook or something. Make me feel better that I'm the only one that didn't have a mom nut job that told us that. Maybe she just did that to, you know, so we felt like we were actually doing something because she didn't want to actually.
Maybe.
Because she didn't actually want to do anything. I think,
but you know, there might be some, you know, folklore truth into that, because if you draw a circle of salt around yourself, then nothing can break that barrier. So maybe there's a little bit of that in that.
So pen ink is works just like salt.
You've been watching too much Walking Dead, yeah.
Kim has her shotgun loaded in the back, too. All right. I have one or two other stories here, and then we'll get to Jennifer. Well, we can all play along with a game of Would You Rather. We haven't played one of those in a while. Jennifer's put some interesting ones together, which I haven't seen yet. So this will be a surprise to everybody. But one of the things they're doing in South Africa that I thought was interesting is they have a big tick problem now in South Africa. And in South Africa, the ticks also carry diseases, just like Lyme disease here and other illnesses. Well, they have what's called the African horse sickness, which is a deadly disease that's spread by ticks and biting midges, and they can cause serious problems. So for the wild horses there, what they have started to do, do you know that, what's the frontline stuff we put on our horses? Is it frontline? I know it is for dogs. What is it we use for horses?
That's for dogs.
Yeah. What is it, Jennifer, you put on the horses with the liquid on their backs and it protects them for a month? We can't hear you, Jennifer. You're on mute.
There's a whole bunch of different brands, but it's essentially the same type of thing you use for your dog. It's just formulated for a horse.
Yes.
Top Spot's one of them.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Top Spot's one of them. So what they can't catch these wild horses to do that, and they don't want to catch them. So what they have taken to doing is making paintball pellets that is filled with that medication. And they shoot the horses with the paintball gun. It fires the pellets, it breaks the... They use pellets that are pretty thin-skinned. So it breaks the pellet, gets on the horse, and they found it to be very successful. And it removes... The way they used to do it before was tranquilizer darts to deliver the medication. They found that this is less invasive with the horses, and it's been working very well. So they're going to continue using the paintball guns. I just thought that was fascinating.
Wouldn't it hurt to get shot by a paintball gun?
Well, they said it leaves a little bit of a mark, but, you know, people play paintball every day. And, you know, get shot and welts.
Well, that's better than a needle, and it's better than death by horse sickness.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess when you weigh the options, it's a better option.
That's true. So do they come in pretty colors?
I don't know. You know, you would think they've used, like, bright pink so they can tell which ones they've shot already.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it is a good way of telling whether you've actually shot the thing or not, right?
Right. Yeah. And then do you have, I suppose they probably don't round their horses up and adopt them out like we do here, but I wonder if you would have some remaining issues with a horse being afraid of a paintball gun.
Well, they, you know, it's Africa. They can hide in the brush and just shoot them from the brush. So, but do you get, like, one shot off before the whole herd takes off, and then you got to, like, you know, move 12 miles to get the second shot off?
Yeah, that's a good... Oh, I wonder if there's a team, right? And
you're like 12 of them hiding in the brush. We obviously don't have enough details, do we?
No.
That's what I like about you, Kim.
Or I wonder if they do it from the air. Maybe they do it from the air.
Like with a machine gun?
Automatic. They have a whole clip. They can do it to the wildebeest, too. The zebras.
All right, we are so off track here. One more story, and then we'll get to Jennifer. I have to say that the Cornell women's polo team won its 15th national title and second straight national title after topping Texas A&M in the championship game on April 10th. So I first said, wow, they have a women's polo team that compete in collegiate competition. How many of those do you think there are? I don't know. This appearance was the Cornell's 32nd in national championship matches in 41 years. So they've done very well. I would say Cornell owns the women's polo for sure. And do you think you get full ride scholarships for playing women's polo, by the way?
I don't know. It'd be really cool if you did.
Yeah. Have we ever talked about women's collegiate polo, Jennifer? I don't think so in all the shows we've done. So anyway, I saw that story out there and thought I'd throw it out there. So congratulations to them. Well, Jennifer, we are going to play a game. We haven't done one in a while of Would You Rather. I don't think Kim and I have ever done it. So hit us with it. What do we got? And you can play along at home.
All righty. Would you rather? Okay, let's pick a good one here. Let's see here. All right. I know what Glenn's answer is going to be for this one, but I don't know what Kim is going to be. Would you rather clean all 20 stalls yourself every day and get free bedding for life? Or would you rather have a new, never cleaned a stall in my life helper every month and have that done for free for life? Can you go first?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
The helper. you can train them, and I don't want to do it. 20 cells is a lot.
But every month he has to train a new one up.
Oh, every month you get a new helper?
Oh, every month you get a new one?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, but it only takes one
bedding.
A
you
day
to... For free bedding. Nah, I'll still take the helper.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kim.
To train a
I'm
new
taking
one
the
month.
Helper, too. And you know what?
I have a... Go ahead.
Paige's boyfriend's probably free because I'm sure he's run by now. So he'd probably help out with that. He's used to being bitched at. So it'd be perfect.
Glenn, it's a family show.
Sorry.
Gosh.
Next.
Okay, that next article question. Really wound him up.
Yeah. Good. Next question. This one's going to be Glenn first. Would you rather kiss a pony with a snotty nose or hug a perfect stranger?
Oh, wow. What, did the stranger have a snotty nose too, or just a pony? Because if the stranger has a snotty nose too, I'm going the pony. Can I qualify how good looking the stranger is too? Because I am a guy. We think about those things. Can I put qualifiers on this, or do I have to answer it straight up?
You just have to answer it straight up. You have to make an answer.
This is a tough one. I'm going with the stranger because I have a 50-50 chance that that person doesn't have a snotty nose. So
okay.
I'm going with the stranger.
Well, the question, how bad is the snotty nose?
See, you like, see, you need qualifiers
it, like,
too.
I mean, it's just a little bit of like, you know, white mucus coming out or whatever. I choose the pony.
There's a little bit of, maybe he sucked up too much dust, or maybe he has a little bit of a cold
snotty
nose.
Have you
and then
ever seen a pony with a really bad cold, snotty nose cold? Oh, it's gross. I'll take my chances with the stranger. I've had strangers before. I've lived.
But she didn't say where you had to kiss the pony. You could kiss the pony on the neck. You don't have to kiss the pony on the nose.
I think she said kiss a pony on the nose, though. Oh, that's gross.
Oh.
No Kobayashi Maru here.
All of a sudden, Kim's gone, well, what's the stranger look like? You're in my camp now.
Well, she didn't say we couldn't wipe it off before we kissed the nose.
All right, next.
All right, the next one. What's the next one going to be here? Okay. Would you rather spend the day hanging around at a horse show with horse people you know but didn't particularly care for, or would you rather spend the day hanging around a horse show with non-horse people you've never met? Glenn, you go first this time.
I'm going with the non-horse people I've never met because I have a chance of liking one of them. If I already know, I already don't like the other people and they're a pain to be around, you know, the pages of the world, then I'm going. God, if that girl hears this, she's going to be pissed.
She's an auditor.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going with the non-horse people because you know what? I've hung out at horse shows with non-horse people, and so we can have a good time together.
How about you, Kim?
So it's hang out with horse people that you don't like, or non-horse people you don't know.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Brad, well, I agree with Glenn with people that, people I don't know. I can talk to anybody. So.
See, I looked at that and I thought, you know, I think I'd rather hang out with the horse people I didn't like because then I could completely ignore them and tune them out and would not be considered rude.
There you go.
Right? I'm really good at ignoring people.
See, Kim and I are more gregarious, so we were like, go talk to the other people, be fine. You know, and you never know, Kim, right? You might make your best friend for life right there.
You never know.
That's one of those.
You never
things.
Know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just more outgoing than I am.
Or you might end up with Paige's mom. You know, that could be a possibility, too.
All right. One more. Listen carefully now. Focus, Glenn. Focus.
Okay. Sorry. Distracted this morning.
Would you rather have a generous patron who pays your way and requires you to wear totally obnoxious logos all over yourself, your horse, and your rig? Or would you rather have a generous sponsor who never goes to the shows but visits the barn every single weekend with his entire extended family?
Ooh.
Bring on those logos, baby. Just put one right on my forehead.
Okay, Kim. Which side of the fence are you going to be on?
That's a tough one. Jeez.
I know where your struggle is. Let me see if I get this right. You're struggling because you don't really want to wear the obnoxious logos, and you know it's wrong to be offended by your generous sponsor coming to the barn every week, and you're going, oh, I should appreciate that because they're probably good people, right? Yeah, you're feeling guilty for choosing two.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that, like, yeah, of course, I'd be grateful even if they, you know, are annoying. But I don't know if I could deal with that every weekend and their families there. Like, that just would be, grateful regardless, right? Grateful that I'm wearing obnoxious logo.
All right, put that Dodge Ram truck logo on Kim's forehead, too.
Yeah, I think I probably, at the end of the day, for my own sanity, had to get you some logos.
I think there should be more logos all over riders anyway. I think they should look like NASCAR guys.
NASCAR?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that, because then we could have our HRN logos like all over riders. That'd be so cool. I'm all for that. Bling them up. You know, the Western riders all wear bling. They might as well wear bling that says something. You know, the rodeo guys, they look cool in those shirts. So
they're not super logoed up, but they are logoed. Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, if we're doing dressage and on their jackets, we can do classy logos. We don't need STP oil treatment, but, you know, make classy logos on the dressage coats. But it's about darn time we all start making.
They're never going to be one of our sponsors, are they? You just called their logo not classy.
By the way, if STP wants to sponsor the show, I'd be happy to have them. We all use oil in our trucks, so we'd be happy to have them. But yeah, I think there should be more logos, actually. I think that it's about time we start making some money in this sports. So, whatever it takes. I'm just pissed off all the dressage riders. But you should have logos all over your coats. I'm all for logos. Bring them on. Well, there you go.
Oh, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool if you come up with, although it'd be difficult, but you'd have a projector. So when a rider is riding in the arena, a dressage rider, then you project their sponsor's logos on their coat and horse as they're riding, but they don't actually have to wear it.
It's a guy with like a spotlight pointed at your back,
like,
the whole
like
time.
The back signal? Is that what you're suggesting?
Right.
Something like the bat signal?
That's
something
funny.
Like a what?
Like the bat signal on your back, you know?
Yes. Yes.
That's funny. All right. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for that. We hope you have played along at home. There are some interesting ones. You always come up with some wacky ones, that's for sure.
Yep. And you know what? Batman would be a great sponsor.
Yeah, that's right. Batman can sponsor anytime. Well, we are. I have a. Every month, Kim, we do a list that I put together called Study Show. And all I do is go onto Google and I do a search, and all I search is Study Show. And I take a look at the last month and see what we've wasted our money on, and usually a government money, on studies that are like absolutely ridiculous. So here is the latest April version of Study Show. Number one, studies show millennials are falling for online and phone scams more than any other age group. So is that saying millennials are just naiver, stupider? What's that saying?
It says that they're on their phone all the time.
they believe everything they read, apparently, too. But you know what? I also think that also says that the scammers are getting more sophisticated.
Yeah.
And trickier. They're getting more sophisticated and trickier. So I think that by the way, I never look at any of these studies. I don't dig into them. We just surmise what they said because, you know what? They just spent $100,000 or $200,000 or $1 million on that. And probably we got it right just guessing. So here we go. Studies show that tree nuts improve cholesterol levels.
Hmm.
Yeah. So get your walnuts out, people. Studies show that owning a cat can... Now, this they didn't need to spend any money on this. Studies show that owning a cat can lead to severe mental illness later in life.
You've already gone down that road,
Glenn. Not. You're
there.
You own a cat. You know what it's like. You're going to be crazy by the time you're 60 because of that cat.
Oh.
You have nothing to say about
that
one.
Who did that study?
I personally agree totally with this study. I don't care what they, how they came up with the study. I don't care. And this was on NBC, by the way.
Really? And
I did look a little bit at this one because I was really curious. And it says that researchers at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, which is a reputable school, published a new study in schizophrenia research stating that a parasite called Toxoplasma gondii is in cat feces. And that leads to toxoplasmosis, a condition that, if contracted in childhood, may lead to serious mental illness later in life. So it's not necessarily that the cat makes you crazy, but the cat litter, the cat feces makes you crazy.
Well, I agree with that. Regardless of any diseases involved.
It even has showed that pregnant women have long been told to avoid cleaning the kitty litter box because toxoplasmosis can be shown to cause severe birth defects. What they're also saying is that it can affect you later in life. So there you go. It's the cat. It still comes back to it's the cat, though. Now, it does say that the same condition can be caused by eating undercooked meat, poultry, seafood, and unwashed fruits and vegetables, which I thought was interesting. What it says here is avoid feeding your cat undercooked meat as well for the same reason. So if you're one of those that cooks for your cat, like we have to because our cat's so stupid and picky. So we have to cook for our cat, but we always make sure that the meat is cooked thoroughly. So there you go.
There you go.
You didn't know that, did you? Studies show that sleep deprivation performance is similar to being under the influence of alcohol. Now, do we need a study for that? We all know that when you're sleep deprived, you're a little slower to respond and that you're kind of like you are when you're a little bit drunk. I didn't need a $1 million study to show that. Studies show that
operate heavy machinery.
That's right. Studies show that ancestors of Loch Ness Monster, the Loch Ness Monster, swimming look like penguins. I have no idea. That's what the title was. I have no idea. Studies show that men like women.
Who wrote that?
And I agree with the next one, by the way. You didn't need a study for this. Studies show that men like women who wear less makeup. I'm one of those that doesn't, I don't like women with a lot of makeup. I'm kind of a makeup free guy. And I think if you're attracted to horsewomen, you tend to be more attracted to women who don't like to wear a lot of makeup, right? So I think that just goes along with the whole horse person thing. Studies show that homework has a negative impact on your kids. I always knew that. I always knew that I hated homework, and now it's been proven that it has a negative impact on your children. Homework is bad for you. Five new studies on Pluto show just how weird the little planet is.
There's two bad headlines in here.
we spent money on that. Like, we care how weird little Pluto is. Studies show how women's brains become slower under pressure.
I've got that. I know how they did that. If your riding helmet is too tight, you cannot remember your course. Your brain is under pressure. It's too tight. You're not going to remember where your course is. Yep. That was the problem all those years.
And they spent money on this one too, Kim. Studies show pets can reduce loneliness and anxiety for senior citizens.
Oh my God. Duh.
Like, really? studies show that children just want to be famous. And I think that's directly related to the Kardashians myself. I think that's why children want to be
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Exactly. Netflix study shows how long it takes to get hooked by a TV show. And I actually read that one because I wanted to see the result of that. And it is, the average is 1.5 episodes. They say if you're not hooked after 2 episodes, you're not sticking with it. And I agree with that. How many, do you even give it 1.5? After the first episode, Jennifer and I are done usually. We'll get, and sometimes it's 10 minutes into the first episode. It's like, oh, this is dumb.
I think you're right. It depends.
Yeah. And then they spent money on this study, and you're an animal person, and studies show that dogs get jealous. We needed a study for that. You have 2 dogs, and one gets jealous of the other. We actually needed a study for that. So there's probably about $10 million of wasted money just in the headlines right there. But it's been proven that cats will make you crazy. So that we have proved. I'm kind of glad about that one. All right. And I'm sure she's so thrilled after hearing this to be on our show coming up next. We have, and if you remember right, Diane, yes, Brooklyn Diane stopped in, not a horse girl, stopped in and spent a morning with us on the show. She wanted to see how we did the morning show here. She's a fellow podcaster here in Florida and was a policeman for a lot of years in New York City. And she has a show on Medicare, actually, that does very well. She has the leading show. Don't tell her that I'm telling you this, but it's also the only show on Medicare. But it's a leading show on Medicare. And she's found a niche and done very well in it. But she also has a new mission and a new show that she's coming out with that I thought might interest some people, especially when you hear what the prize is. And I saw her last night at the Florida Podcasters meeting. Hi, Diane Daniels. Welcome back to the show.
What's going on, Glenn? How are you doing?
Good. And we played your Story Jam Theater on Wednesday, too, and the audience really liked that. It was really good.
I can't believe you did that. That's pretty cool that you did that. That was nice of you. Thank you.
Well, it was a good message. It was a good story, and the visuals were fun. So
good. You know me. I like to make everybody laugh. Okay, let me make a point about that freaking study you just did, okay?
Which one?
Now. This study that cost $1 billion that we could figure out all by ourselves. Listen, have you heard of a cat lady, right?
Yep.
Have you ever heard of a dog lady? No, you never heard of a dog lady. A cat lady, cats cause schizophrenia and problems all the time.
See?
That's why they call them cat ladies, because they have 100 cats. See? And it's from all that polycystio, whatever you call them, in the feces.
That's
See?
Right. That's right. You're exactly right.
It's easy.
Yeah, that's right.
And the nuts with the tree, listen, a walnut looks like your brain, right? It kind of looks like a brain. It's good for your brain. Brazilian nuts look like testicles. They're good for testicles. This isn't hard. We can do this all by ourselves, guys. We didn't have to pay $1 billion for this study. What was the other one?
All they had to do is talk to Diane.
I got 3 dogs. If I pet one too long, the other one comes over and starts, you know, pushing me with her paw. That's, she's jealous. This is easy. It is easy.
All right, Diane, you're coming on because you have a new project, and I thought it was a good project, and I know that a lot of people are going to benefit from it. But so tell us about what you're doing now, what's just started.
All right, so I started a new podcast. Like, I don't have any other time in my life. I started a new podcast, a 7-day podcast. You are such an inspiration. I figured I have to do a 7-day podcast now. It's called Weight Loss Nation. And I'm doing this, guys, because I'm 54 years old. I've spent my whole life yo-yo dieting. Any of you out there, you know what I'm talking about. You gain weight, you lose weight. You gain weight, lose weight. I'm kind of tired of it now. And I finally said I got to get a grip on this if I'm going to live to be in my 60s, okay? So I thought about all the programs that I've been through with diets and weight loss programs, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, Paleo, Haleo, every diet you can think of I've been on. And, you know, they work at the time. I mean, I've lost the weight. But as soon as you're finished with the program, they give you a standing ovation, they give you a ribbon, everybody waves goodbye. And 3 months later, you got a fight with the boss, or you get fired, or somebody's sick in your family, and that's it. You're wanting to get whatever your favorite comfort food is. So what's missing is the support, and you really need a lot of support to make this a lifestyle long-term. So Weight Loss Nation is 7 days a week, 24-hour support, and whether it's you need an emergency talk, I have all hotline numbers. We have online support, so if you are up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you want to go eat that chocolate cake that's in the refrigerator, you just got to type, I want chocolate cake, and someone's going to come back on and say something like, no, you don't really want that. You know, we'll be there for support for you. And we have online meetings 7 days a week. You know how there's Overeaters Anonymous meetings, there's AA meetings, lots of support meetings that you could go to in person. We have them online 7 days a week. And then we have interviews with guests that are experts in the health and wellness field. And I've got 10 mentors. If you could believe this, Glenn, I got 10 mentors from across the country to help me in this journey and to help everyone else who joins Weight Loss Nation to have tools and guidance to live a healthy lifestyle. So I'm in this forever. I got to do this till the day I die now.
Well, this is That's a big project you're taking on here.
Oh, you're not kidding. But I got to do it because, you know, Medicare Nation, I love educating, okay, the adult children of senior citizens and citizens about Medicare. I just love that. Well, I want to, you know, have a healthy lifestyle. I can't do it by myself. It's totally like bipolar there. I need help. So I'm putting the show together. I made it Diane proof, but this is what I need to do it. So I know there's hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people out there that need the same help. So all the tools are in place. You can be anywhere across the country. You could do this from home. You could do it in your car. You could do it at work, wherever you want. Now, you don't have to go to a specified meeting at 5 o'clock. You don't have to go to a scheduled consultation. You know, you can do this at your leisure and pleasure, and we're there for you. So yeah. I'm in this until I die. That's it.
Now, is there a cost to this to play along?
There is, okay, because it is a production. I mean, this is like a game changer. There is no other podcast like this out there. So there is three membership packages. There's a $9.99 package that has certain tools. Then there's a $19.99 package, and then a $39.99 that gets everything, 24-hour support, all the bells and whistles. And we even have a contest if somebody wants to join the contest. I'm looking for 10 people. That's it. So 10 people to join this contest, because I like to motivate people and make it fun. And the winner is going to be based on the percentage of body fat they lose in the 90 days. They get points for that. Then if they lower their blood pressure, or their blood pressure at the end date of the contest is 120 over 80 or better, they get points. And if their total cholesterol is under 200, they get points. And whoever has the most points from those 10 people is going to be the winner, and they are going to win a 7-day cruise for two from Carnival Cruise Line.
And is Carnival, when they go on the cruise, going to limit their diet? Are they going to give them a special, like, diet? Because I think on a Carnival cruise, after doing all that, I'd gain every ounce back.
I know. And you see, okay, this is why I love Carnival. I've been on Carnival cruises my whole life, since I was in my 20s. And they actually have healthy meal choice at every meal, okay? And if you're a kind of person like me, I'm not really into, like, a lot of fish meals. So, like, if they got that as their healthy thing, I don't want it. But what you don't know out there is that you can ask your waiter, your waitress, to customize a meal for you. So if you say, hey, I'd like a grilled chicken breast with asparagus and a sweet potato, they'll give it to you. You don't have to eat just what is at the buffet or when you go into the restaurant. You can actually ask for what you want to eat, and they will prepare it for you. They are totally into healthy living, and that's why this is such a great partnership. Because I went on the ship, that once we launch this next week, you'll see the videos that I went on with Carnival Cruise. They're totally into it. I love them so much because of that. So when they go on the cruise, they'll still have our support. If they get online, we'll be there and happy to help them through it. It's going to be great. It's not going to be an issue. Just follow the support, use your tools, and you can do it. You just got to stick to the plan.
So now, if somebody wants to be one of the 10, what do they do?
You got to go to the Weight Loss Nation dot com. And Jamie, you better interpret that because, you know, with the action, I don't know if I can spell it.
Yeah, I'll interpret it too, because our Australian listeners are going to have no idea what you just said. So it's the weightlossnation.com, the weightlossnation.com. I'm saying that in English, not Brooklynese. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And then all they got to do then is they can look around the site. If you just want to be like me and learn to live a healthy lifestyle, that's what I'm doing. I'm not in the contest. That wouldn't be fair, right? But if you want to join the contest, it says enter the contest, win a cruise. And you can click on that and just to see how you can enter. I want to see a 30-second video so I can just see who you are. I like to see who I'm going to be involved with on my show. And then we'll get you from there. The first 10 people that need to lose some weight and want to live a healthy lifestyle, let's do this. I mean, it's great.
Well, I'm impressed. Now, the hotline thing, I'm interested in that, too. Because if I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got chocolate cake in the fridge. Can I just type into the hotline and actually have somebody come over and remove the chocolate cake? Because I think that's the only way I'm not eating it.
You're funny. I'm not bewitched, right? I wish I could wiggle my nose. I can wiggle my ears really good, but not my nose.
So you're not going to drive to my house and remove the chocolate cake for me, Diane, is what you're saying?
For you, Glenn, I would do it, but I don't think I'd make it to California for somebody. So they'd have to either get on the phone and call a support line, or they could type in and get on the forum on weightlossnation.com and just say, I'm staring at this chocolate cake, and we'll try to help.
I think the first part of that is don't have chocolate cake in the house. I think that's probably the best solution to that problem.
At least for the 90 days, because then you'll get better and you'll understand why. You won't have those cravings anymore. At least that's what I'm learning.
Yeah, and you know what? I had to go on the sugar-free, gluten-free diet. So, I've been down that road, and I still have cravings for sugar. Sugar is, and I still have cravings for bread occasionally. And I allow myself one little cheat a week on Sunday, and that kind of takes care of it. Or if I'm having a major craving, I'll eat one bite of Jennifer's chocolate cake or cheesecake, and that sweetness kind of just helps, right? But I limit, you limit the amount. But I'm so excited for you, and I know this has been a ton of work. I know what it's like to put something like this together. So congratulations and good luck with it. You can also follow on Facebook. Jennifer will put a link to it. It's Weight Loss Nation on Facebook. I love your logo, by the way. So it's Weight Loss Nation on Facebook. And good luck with this, buddy.
All right. And listen, I'm learning a lot more about horses because so far I found something we have in common. I wear jockey underwear. So, see, I was trying so hard to find something in common. So right now, I got jockey underwear. So I'll work on this. And now next time I come on, I'll figure something else that we got in common. I'll work on this.
All right, good, Diane. I appreciate your effort.
I love all you horse people. I know. I love all you horse people. You're awesome.
Talk to you later,
all right.
Diane.
You guys take care. All right. Bye, Jamie. Bye, Glenn. Bye-bye.
Weight Loss Nation is where you'll find it. She's a trip. She's a trip. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. Kim, thank you so much for filling in. But tell everybody, you know, we did readings for a long time in the show when you were coming on every month, and people have missed it. I've had comments, the listeners missed the readings, but they can still get readings. They just have to contact you directly. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. You can contact me at kimbakeranimalcommunicator.com. And there's a contact me that way, or just send me an email, kim@kimbakeranimalcommunicator.com. You can also send it through my horse page, which is kim@kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. I get both of those emails. And like I said, I did a reading for a gal in California. She had an Akita that had some things going on, and she wanted to know what she needed to do to help her, and so we got that resolved, and things are going well. So I'm happy to help out with any animal that you may have questions or just can't figure things out, or they have a fungus or a bacteria or a microbial something or other, and we can, I don't know, determine something that might assist. As well as speaking with your veterinarian, because I'm not a veterinarian and I do not diagnose. But the horse can usually give you more insight as to what's going on and what will help them.
Very good. Well, I can tell you this. After Diane was done, I'm never eating a Brazil nut again. We'll see you, Kim. Take care.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll be back. Mary Kitzmiller tomorrow. Jamie will be back on Friday. Get your really bad ads in. Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com.